A Skagway pot shop application is denied by the Planning Commission, and the local Fish and Game Advisory Committee asks the Haines Borough to delay Helisky map changes. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. This month, the Skagway Planning and Zoning Commission denied a local business owner's request for a marijuana retail store. The conditional use permit was denied based not on local zoning code, but on state law. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
Skagway is a small community squeezed into a steep and narrow valley. That means many of the town's businesses are condensed into an even smaller area. By state law, marijuana businesses cannot be within 500 feet of a school ground, a recreation or youth center, a building where religious services are regularly conducted, or a correctional facility.
There's a very small area in Skagway where these shops could be permitted by state code. It's a pretty small window.
That's Planning and Zoning Chair Matt Deitch at the November 10th meeting. The commission was reviewing an application for a conditional use permit to operate a retail marijuana business. The application was submitted by Christine Harder. She's the owner of Buckshot and Bobby Pins, which recently moved to 750 Broadway. Her plan was to sell cannabis products in addition to the wide variety of items she already stocks.
It was never my intention to just turn into a 100% cannabis retail store.
She says based on a map Skagway's previous permitting official provided that showed where pot shops are allowed, in her review of state and municipal code, she should be in the clear to do that. And she said she wouldn't have moved locations if she believed it would be an issue. Harder's store is located in Skagway's business historic zone. By municipal zoning code, pot shops are not prohibited there, but you need to obtain a conditional use permit. There are four criteria for that. But that wasn't really the issue for the commission. In May, they granted a conditional use permit to Skagway business owner Tara Bass for her marijuana retail shop in the business general zone. And Deitch says there is no bad attitude toward pot shops.
We've always looked at them the same as any other kind of retail business that's permitted by the state. There's no animus coming from our particular corner of the local government towards it.
What it really came down to was the state buffer zone regulations. Deitch argued that Harder's business is too close to daycares, a church, library, and Molly Walsh Park. There was some confusion around the wording used in the law. Harder contends recreation or youth center would discount daycares, especially since the wording changed from the original child care facility. Going by the state definition of that phrase, Deitch disagreed.
I would absolutely classify them as a place for youth as well as Molly Walsh Park.
Harder questioned whether it's even in the local government's jurisdiction to make judgments on the state law. Deitch said yes.
We cannot be less permissive than state code as a city entity. We can't. We always have to uphold state code, whatever the strictest code is, state, federal. We have to uphold the strictest version. We cannot be less restrictive.
Well, I wouldn't apply if I hadn't dotted my I's and crossed my T's.
Yes.
And I've got everything marked in the law.
According to Cynthia Franklin, director of the state's Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, local governments have the right to protest an application based on state regulations. But whether the Planning and Zoning Commission has that power is a question she deferred to the borough attorney. Deitch said they did consult the attorney.
His response to whether or not P&Z should take state law into account was, I think it is more important to look at whether the location satisfies all applicable laws. If it does not satisfy state law, then that seems to me a proper consideration for planning and zoning.
He said they could turn the judgment over to the state.
Yeah, we can easily pass the buck onto the state. I prefer to keep stuff in-house as much as possible.
Ultimately, the commission voted unanimously to deny the conditional use permit. Harder said this is an example of the difficulty business owners face in small communities like Skagway.
There are a lot of other smaller coastal communities who feel that the statutes are currently not fair and equitable for people living in coastal communities with less land mass in Southeast Alaska.
And she says it all comes down to the overregulation of cannabis compared to alcohol, when bars are allowed in that same area but not her business. Harder can appeal the decision to the Borough Assembly. She has not said whether she will follow that recourse. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
Over recent weeks, a Haines committee has met to make recommendations on whether to open new areas for helicopter skiing. The Heliski Map Committee's deadline is November 30th. But another committee, one tasked with considering local wildlife populations, wants the Heliski Map process to slow down. They say the borough should wait to make changes to the map until research on area mountain goats and bear dens is complete.
What are mountain goats in the Haines area doing? Are they wintering up high? Are they wintering down low?
Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Kevin White has spent much of the past 6 years tracking mountain goats in the Upperland Canal. He presented some of his initial findings last April. The goal is to map goats' habitat. The incentive for this research has a lot to do with the heliskiing industry. If biologists know where the important mountain goat habitat is located, they can try to steer helicopters clear of those areas. There is already research that shows goats are sensitive to helicopter noise.
This is an Upperland Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee.
That's committee chairman Tim McDonough.
And it seems that the purpose is to keep in mind we're looking to have healthy populations of fish and game, and that should be our interest and what drives us.
That's why McDonough and the rest of the 8 committee members present at a recent meeting unanimously supported a letter to the borough. Here's committee member Kip Kermoyan reading from the letter.
The expansion of the Heliski map has the potential to negatively impact wildlife until data can be quantified and evaluated. It will be unclear as to what the potential impacts may be.
It goes on to ask the borough suspend decisions on the Heliski map until biologists are ready to present preliminary data on mountain goats and bears. Fish and Game is working on a bear den study using aerial surveys. One of the motivations behind that study is also to gather better information for Heliski management. Here's the problem with the advisory committee's request. The borough has already set a timeline for Heliski map changes. The committee recommendations are due at the end of this month. Then the borough manager is due to make a recommendation to the assembly in December. The assembly has the final say. McDonough asked, why can't the map amendments wait?
The push to get this done, is it imperative it gets done like in the next month?
The timeline was a kind of a compromise.
That's MAP Committee Chairman Ron Jackson. He's also a borough assembly member. He says essentially the borough is trying to make up for a mistake in code that left timely MAP amendment requests in limbo for much of the past year. In May, two Heliski operators submitted MAP amendment proposals, but timeline regulations in code made it difficult for the assembly to decide on those requests. So in September, the assembly revised the code.
So we made some changes to make it workable, and in the process figured, well, we had to go ahead and honor those requests this year.
The assembly approved a special Heliski map committee to convene this fall. That way, the two companies' requests could still be heard and decided on in 2016. But in the Fish and Game Advisory Committee's view, the interests of the Heliski businesses shouldn't take precedence over the valley's wildlife. Here's Kermoyan.
1 year's worth of additional clients is potentially not worth the impacts to wildlife. We don't know what those may be.
Fish and Game area biologist Carl Koch was on the phone. His department is working with the MAP committee, providing what information they can. But Koch says he would prefer the borough wait until their research is solidified before opening new areas to heliskiing. He said of the locations the MAP committee is reviewing, there are a few that seem okay, but
more often than not, there's concerns.
Koch says the goat and bear studies should have preliminary information ready in 2017, but he's not certain when. The MAP committee's next meeting is Monday, November 21st. The Haynesboro School Board will soon have an opening for a new member. Current board member Mike Wilson will attend his last meeting in December. He's moving to Arizona to be closer to family.
Enjoyed it. I think that the issues we dealt with, especially last year, we hit those head on and were ahead of it. And I was really glad to be part of all of that.
Wilson is a retired educator who was appointed to the school board in December of 2014. He was elected the following September. The board will review applicants for the position and make an appointment at their meeting on January 10th. The new member will serve until the October 2017 election. Letters of interest are due to School Administrative Assistant Ashley Sage by 4 p.m. on January 4th. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.